Shav Gimel Adar. Today we're starting Hilchos Pesach. Very exciting news. So Siman Kuf Zayin, Halacha Aleph, that's where we're starting. And we're going to Siman Kuf Ches, and we're going to discuss the laws of Matzah all the way to Halacha Gimel. So here we go. Siman Kuf Zayin, Halacha Aleph is where we're starting today. Dinei Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The entire month of Nisan is a beautiful Hashulchan actually that explains how each one of the days of Nisan is really a Yom Tov based on the past and the future. And according to Mishnah Berurah, based on the majority of the month is already, and that's the reason why we don't say Tachnun, we don't tell us what's called Siddiq HaDin, for the Levaya, there's no eulogies, unless it's a Talmud Chacham. And you don't say Tzidkos Chatzedek on Shabbos Mincha. There's an interesting custom every single day from Rosh Chodesh all the way to the 13th of Nisan to read part of the Nasi, meaning each Nasi, because in the inauguration of the building of the Mishkan that took place on the 1st of Nisan. And for 13 days, they went through the inauguration. So therefore, each tribe has a representation of his korban that was brought. The 13th, interesting, is Levi. It represents Levi. And that's what you read from Baal Yischa, from Parshas Baal Yischa, who speaks about the Menorah, because we know that Aaron HaKohen was the, so to speak, the head of Shevet HaLevi, other than Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a big discussion in Halacha. Can you take out a Sefer Torah? Do you not take out a Sefer Torah? It's an important thing to know. You don't just take out Sefer Torahs from the Aron. It's a disrespect to the Sefer Torah. Here, there's definitely a strong custom to take out the Sefer Torah. Some just read it from Mechumash, and there's a beautiful Yeratzon also that the Sfaradim have that's Kedai to say. Very powerful. And I think the Kavah Yasha also quotes it. Now, the second Halacha is that since it's a very special Yantavika month, the whole month is basically a Yantav, you don't fast. Even if someone has a yurtzai, you don't fast. What does a person do if there's a yurtzai? He learns more, and he does a lot of mitzvahs, which is, according to the famous life from Kivega, that's the ikar, is to learn more Torah, and to facilitate Torah, to give charity. The exception is what's called tainis chalom, someone had a bad dream, and a really bad dream that bothers him. So then he fasts, and that usually has to be the next day, that day when he woke up, that day that he woke up to, he should fast. The Bechorim, as we're going to learn later on, fast on Erev Pesach. That's also an interesting discussion. And Chasan and Kala, by the Ashkenazim, fast on the day of their marriage. And even, interesting, the Halach is even Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why would Rosh Chodesh Nisan Rosh Chodesh? So, Taf Kuf Pei, the Halach of their states in Simon Shukhanach and Shukhanach, that it was the day that the sons of Aaron died, Novna Naviu, which was on the inauguration of the Mishkan. So that's why. Even Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Chasan Kala fast, and also because the rest of the Nisan is because it's really like Yom Kippur for them. Nevertheless, someone has a difficulty, weakness, etc., certainly more room to be lenient. In general, we're more lenient. Sfaradim don't fast at all. Shabbos HaGadol, we're jumping right to Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos right before Pesach. So after Mincha, the custom is you don't say Bachin Avshi anymore. Hopefully you were saying Bachin Avshi the whole year. Right after Pesach, you start saying Pirkei Avos. So what are you doing Shabbos HaGadol? You say Avadim Einu the power of Mitzrayim. You go through part of the Agada. So there's a major discussion. The Vilna Gaon, famous Vilna Gaon, that he didn't do it. He felt that you can't do the Agada before. I think that at Bizmanenu, meaning at this time, it's important for our generation where the Agada is not so clear. It's always good to prepare as much as possible, and even Shabbos Agada. And certainly that's a beautiful custom. So and the Kitzur explains why. And it's interesting that he doesn't quote the Vilna Gaon, which is also somewhat suspicious. That maybe things in Ma'aser Rav, maybe that Vilna Gaon really it's not so clear. Maybe it was only Shabbos who was there Pesach. So certainly, if the Kitzur says you could do it, you should do it. And he says why? Because Shabbos Hagadol was the beginning of the miracle, right? Because that's when they took the Egyptian sheep and told them that we're going to go slaughter your gods, basically. So that was, and they couldn't do anything, and that was part of the miracle. Now, Siman Kuf Ches starts the laws of wheat, flour, making what's called Shmura Matzah. So there's a little bit of a misconception about Shmura Matzah. Shmura Matzah basically means the songs and everything about it, but we have to understand there's really two halachas when it comes to matzah. Every matzah, the basic halacha is that it can't be chametz, it can't ferment. So it has to be watched that there's no contact of water and flour for a longer amount of time, more than 18 minutes, that usually is the standard time. Before it was baked, and we're machen much more than that, and we're more careful even earlier stages, as we'll see in a moment. But then there's another entirely new chiddush in Shmura Matzah, and that is that the shmira, the watching of the matzah, has to be l'shem matzah's mitzvah. And there's a debate even if it's l'shem matzah's mitzvah. That's the minig is you'll see when you go to baking, any place where they bake matzahs, that they say l'shem matzah's mitzvah. That's really a combination of all the different shitas. And it's an important thing to, so those shmura matzahs, or that's called the special shmura matzahs, are the ones that are used Pesach night, first night of Pesach and the second night of Pesach. Other than that, there's no obligation to eat matzah. A person can go through the entire rest of Pesach technically, and he's not obligated to eat other than when he makes wants to make the chamishna on Yom Tov itself. But technically, there's no obligation throughout the Chol HaMoed to eat matzah. It's a kiyum mitzvah that the Vilna Gaon says because it was mechadesh that every time you have a kazayis of matzah, maybe even chatzi kazayis. So then you become the mitzvah. Okay, there's a lot of people. I just want to focus so people have a clarity. Now we're going to understand the kitzur. The kitzur, when he discusses Shmura Matzah, so he says we go to the earliest stage, preferably, which is from the time of what's called Ktzira. Shmura Mishas Ktzira means that from the time of harvesting, they're already careful to make sure they didn't come in contact with water. And the reason for that is because if even stalks that already have finished growing, they're not even been harvested yet, but they're dry. And they come in contact with water, there's a concern that maybe it's going to start the fermentation process. Really make a din if it's from the time of tchina, which is the time of grinding, and even some shita zon from the time of lisha from kneading. If it's washed, to make sure that the flour is not coming in contact in with water, meaning in the lung and allowing it to ferment, it should be okay. So even the kitzur says that mishas tchina is okay, but it's good and proper to be medakta from shas ksira, and usually that's a matzah that we get. And it's a matter of manayim to get these shmua matzahs that are kept also use them for the whole week. But halacha lemaisa, if we have a matzah says kosher for Passover, it's kosher for Passover. Just can't be used, like I said, for the first nights of Pesach, because there it needs a different type of level of shmir. Then there's also a discussion about the fact that sometimes you have these wheats that already the kernel already starts splitting or sprouting. So the halacha is interesting that you're allowed to, if it's before, usually it's before, if you have these before Pesach, which is usually the case, that's why there's also a minhag to bake before Pesach, so you avoid a lot of different shaylos. Because before Pesach, even if you have some that are questionable wheat kernels and they're made into flour, you can mix them together because if there's 60 times, it's considered batal. And even though usually you're not allowed to be batal lechatchila, in this case, it's permitted. And then there's a discussion also if things came in contact with mice. Of different animals and things that maybe they had saliva, all these things lechatchila were more careful with. If it was kept in an attic and rain came upon it, or a little bit of snow. So all these questions, of course, ask shaylos, but in general, they are okay if there's just a minimal amount of wetness, and they usually separate that which got wet. And the kitzur also adds another thing that when it comes to the rechaim, the mill, so crucial in the process of making the matzahs. And it's important to know that many times people go and bake matzahs with chaburas and stuff like that. You have to know what you're doing. Sometimes you'll ask, they'll have children helping, which is a beautiful thing. But the problem is, according to some of my opinions, it's a real major problem because they don't have the ability to be lishma. So it goes into the whole discussion in the Rishonim if you need mamish lishma or just the fact that it's not going to become chametz. That's really part of the discussion is Shaar HaTzion. And that's basically based on the Tshuvas Rashba and the Ra'ah. That maybe you could even use a non-Jew, a monkey, the whole interesting discussions. But lechatchila, one should be very careful. You're doing something so special. It's Matzah Mitzvah. It's the first night of Pesach. It's a holy, such a holy day. You're not going to take any chances. And that, therefore, when it comes to the mill, so the kitzur says also the mill, you have to make sure to clean it out well. And of course, today they make sure to clean. They don't use a vacham. It's usually the one that's used for Pesach. And also the different pockets, the kisim here that he's referring to, the kitzur is referring to, is what they put the flour in. All these things are made sure to be used that are new and not used. That's why if you see in the process of baking them out, so they use new sheets, and each time they'll switch. All these chumras are certainly commendable and should be done, as the kitzur says, under the watchful eye of a Talmud Chacham that knows what he's doing, not just a tzaddik. He has to know what he's doing. There's even a discussion. You can't even speak while you're making your kneading the dough because all the saliva could come out of your mouth. These are all things that is good to know. And lastly, the kitzur himself says that he's speaking about a case where you have in the same mill area, you have someone making chametzdikah flour that maybe go over, the dust might go over. So you have to have mechitza in between. Today, usually, you don't have such concerns, but a lot of times, sometimes there'll be flour flying all over the place. You have to know how to clean and have to watch it and sift it and everything else. To make sure you know what you're doing, and that's what we're going to be holding today.